This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian Dellinger, and I'm playing with food. If you have ever been to the village of Arroyo Grande in southern San Luis Obispo County, you may be familiar with the sound of the roosters. What you may not be familiar with is that they hang out behind one of the Central Coast's best butchers in one of the oldest, if not the oldest, butcher shop in Arroyo Grande. Henry Gonzalez has been running Arroyo Grande Meat Company for almost 30 years, and when I first arrived, he showed me photos of the butcher shop from the 1890s, and even though the shop wasn't handed down in a particular family, little has changed, and that's a good thing. I visited Henry to learn about making bacon and ham, but before Henry showed me the curing process, he told me about the shop then and now. We hadn't formally started the interview, so Henry is a little muffled.
This is a legit butcher shop. So we do everything just like back in the day. This is our shop in the 1890s. This was the original start of the town of Arroyo Grande, these three buildings right here. So we make a lot of stuff. We make ham, bacon. We make many different kinds of sausages. We make our own jerky. Sometimes we make our own pastrami, or we make our own corned beef. So we do a lot of things from scratch. But the way that we do them from scratch is quite a bit different than, like, say, a guy at his house.
It all looked legit to me. And to prove it, Henry dove right into curing pork belly and pork leg to get the bacon and ham process going.
My name is Henry Gonzalez, and I'm a butcher. That means that we do it all, everything, from the top to the bottom, from the bottom to the top. We slaughter, we custom process, we make sausage, hams, bacons, jerky. We can make all kinds of different things from the ground up.
So this is the cure, this is stuff that you put on the meat.
This is actually what I use to get it started. Now this is a long, intricate process, okay. So I didn't think I'd bore you with that, because first I have to heat the water, cook stuff up, and I put it in a certain way. I have a technique, and then of course I add a bunch of goodies to it. You know, like brown sugar and honey and different things like that. It's legit, man. It's really, really good. As I'm going to take the shortcut on the process and just show you how I'm going to add the cure, part of the cure, to the hams.
So okay, what's this here?
This is part of my cure, but I need to clear it up on the block. This is a pump. It helps me pump. I don't really pump the bacons too much, but I'm gonna also pump some hams and some other things. I'm gonna make some cottage bacons as well. That's a special bacon that we sell, and it's like super meaty, right? So there are some crazy people that don't like fatty bacon. I love fatty bacon. But a lot of people like really meaty bacon. And so the cottage bacon is made from the shoulder, and it's really, really, really meaty.
Okay, and so what does the pump do?
I'm gonna use it to inject the brine into the hams and bacon. So I'll take.
So it doesn't just sit in the brine, like if I were to do it at home, I would put the meat in the brine. You inject the brine into the meat.
Yeah, and a little bit into the bacons, but more into the ham and to the cottage, into the thicker stuff. So we got this right here.
Okay.
What we're gonna do, these are bacon right here. This is a pork belly. Okay, so I'll just set this right here.
And the ham is what part of the pig?
It's the leg. So that's just right here, and that's just right here. Right next to each other, but they're totally different. And these guys right here, I'm gonna make boneless hams. Save this part right here, the hock, and we call that a herky ham hock. Weighs about 3 or 4 pounds as opposed to those little tiny quarter pounders you get in the store. It's a big old chunk of meat like that. Okay, so I take that, and then now I use this to put the brine in. And it's a lot easier for me because the brine comes from the bottom instead of the top. So just making sure this is mixed real good. Okay, good. And that's what you're using to mix up all the ingredients. When you eject this, you're going to bypass the old way of curing things, which is just covering it all with salt and doing it that way. That takes like forever. Another thing is that it's giving a tremendous amount of speed to the process. I just kind of push the needles in here, and I'm just going a little bit because that tumbler will infuse it, but I'm just going in some of the thick parts right here. Just a little bit in the thick part because that machine's pretty much going to take care of it by massaging it. It's going to infuse the cure with the product. I'm trying to get as close to the bone as possible, and there are other ways of curing these, but this is how I do it. Yeah, the traditional way takes a tremendous amount of time because you're trying to do what this is doing. You're trying to get that cure all the way through the meat. You can get into a lot of trouble with home curing because you're doing it improperly. So then what you're going to do is your product is going to spoil and go bad. Okay, that's okay. That's the start of it right here. And then I'll show you the final step as far as this is concerned.
Okay.
And this whole time we try to keep the product really nice and cold. Right there.
Back door.
So if you'll shut that door for me, please.
I will.
And then when you come through this one as well.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. You're listening to Issues and Ideas, and I'm Father Ian at Arroyo Grande Meat Company, learning how to make bacon and ham with Henry Gonzalez. The hams and bacons have to cure. That can take weeks, but modern butchery has a way around it. It's time for the meat to take a tumble. There's lots of different noises, from the refrigeration fan to the vacuum pump to the tumbling itself, a rich cacophony of ham mastery.
Okay, go ahead, shut that door.
Cold in here.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Super cold.
The valve has to be open. Now what we're doing is I would do this until this little needle gets down right here. I want to stop that. So I pull the vacuum and that takes all the oxygen out because there's air in your product too. So it kind of pulls it, which enables the liquid to get all the way in there, okay? And then tumbling it around with those little paddles, that massages it so that it just gets in every single area of it so that it's fully cured. And then what we're gonna do, go ahead and turn it on.
Oh, so it's a gentle tumble.
Yeah.
I envision something like a clothes dryer.
Well, you can get it really fast too, but we have this little thing right here, and we can, adjust the speed, make it faster or make it slower just by adjusting this little lever right there. But that's how I do it.
How long do you do that for?
What I do is I do it in intervals so that the product doesn't heat up. So I do it for an hour, shut it off for an hour. I do it for an hour, shut it off for an hour. Do it for an hour, shut it off for an hour. And then I have as much time as I like to time it with what I've got it on. So they got to cut one of those beef tomorrow, cook sausage tomorrow. It's fully cured. So it has, when it's fully cured, you have a tremendous amount of time to get your work done. So ideally, I would like to do it that day, but that's not going to happen because then I'm going to have to tie the hams and shape them and bone them all out and do a lot of prep work to them. So the next stage, I'll put the hams in the smokehouse, and then I'll put the bacons, because the bacons don't take as much time, but the hams take a long, long time. And since I'm doing them together, I start the hams first. That gets my smokehouse nice and warm, and then I can put my bacons in, and since they don't take nearly the amount of time, I can time it so that they're both done about the same time.
Before the hams and bacons went into the smoker, Henry emphasized how important it is to pass on this craft.
I've been truly blessed, and I have some incredible cats working for me. I work with all my guys. What I do, I show them everything. I don't hide anything from them. In our industry, everybody hides stuff. Hmm. It takes forever to learn things. I figure the better my guys are, the easier it is on me. But the cool thing that I never realized is that they help me so much, they teach me so much. So just a few years ago, I couldn't turn on a computer and I don't do any of this, none of that stuff. It's a lot of fun because you learn, and it just makes such a difference in your life the more that you learn. So I really dig having these, I mean, to me, they're kids, but. And so I dig the back and forth. They're always teaching me and showing me stuff on the computer and technology and stuff. And I'm showing them my craft and what I do. You know, a lot of people want to kind of like learn and stuff like that. And it's like snap, and it's not a snap. It's an art, you know what I mean? So it's a craft. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hand over my craft to them. And I'm finding that's not easy to do because they gotta know so much, but not just that, they gotta have that skill. So it doesn't really seem like it, but our job requires an incredible amount of knowledge and an incredible amount of skill. In every art, you have to be literally an expert because your failures are catastrophic. So you ruin a whole batch of hams, or you ruin the sausage, or you know, all this work and it's gone. So you really gotta pay attention to how you're doing things.
Let's get smoking. You have to look at the photos on the podcast page because this oldest smoker in California is exposed to the elements, the implications of which Henry explains.
I put smoke down in the smokehouse and I want that to burn at a nice slow rate to get that wonderful flavor. Our stuff is not really too smoky, but it's got just a wonderful flavor. It's like adding salt to the meat. It's just a wonderful flavor right there, but not too much, just enough. So that's kind of what I'm trying to do. Typically, like I'll let them cool in there for a while, and then I'll pull them out because there's a lot of, it's kind of like they're melting, you know, so there's a lot of fat dripping off of them. So I make a big mess if I pull them out right away. What I try to do is let them set for a little bit, and then I come back to them and I pull them out and I wrap them in a plastic bag, which catches all the drippings. But I let the air, because I need to cool them in a certain amount of time. So that's a little tricky without making a big mess.
Right.
This is Issues and Ideas on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Father Ian, smoking bacon and ham with Henry Gonzalez. The smoking was done and the bacon and ham were almost ready. And as I step into the smoker to get a closer look at the finished product, you can hear the fans that are working their hardest to keep the rest of the butcher shop cool.
Wow, that's amazing. So what are you doing there?
So what I'm doing is checking the temperature of it. And I knew it as soon as I saw them. But this is telling me they're just a bit over. I knew they were done at 3:30, but I was trying to like, so these are just a bit over what I'd like, but that's fine.
What happens when they're over?
They have a little bit more shrink, so less profit. You want to come out at a certain temperature because that is the best as far as texture and the whole bit. So you're wanting them to come out with the nicest texture, which imparts the best flavor. So these guys right here, these are perfect.
Perfect.
So we're right at 145 right here. So now what I'll do is I'll shut the smokehouse off and we'll spray them and start trying to cool them to stop the cooking process. And then after that, I'll let them cool down some more. And that's it. Then what we'll do is we'll skin these and slice them and we'll make the bacon out of that. Because we got to get the temperature below 80 degrees and then we can throw them in the cooler because the cooler is 39 degrees. You can't cool them too fast because you have to have the internal temperature. As far as the hams are concerned and the bacon, has to be at a certain point to where you're not going to damage your product or cause it to spoil. So you don't want it to cool too fast. You got to give it some time, and you want that internal temperature to be at a certain point, not the outside temperature. We're just going to spray it down for quite a while. But first, I got to turn off the smokehouse.
Okay. They always say, cut your steaks when they're frozen. Cool. So do you have to go outside to shut it down?
Yeah, well, this is my smokehouse. So I'm on gas, and it's really hard to get that taco down over here. I'm on gas, so I just use this little lever right here.
So you just turn off the gas?
Yeah, I'm turning off the gas.
Okay.
Hey, Josh,
Yeah. We're gonna start spraying them down with cold water, okay?
Bacons as well.
Bacons as well.
I envisioned you stoking this with wood.
Yeah, well, I do use wood. It's kind of burned up a bit. This is the inside of my smokehouse. Okay. And right down there, you can't see it too well, but we use hickory dust. And so, see it smoldering right there?
Yeah.
And so I burned a bit of it off because it was hot. We want it to smolder so that this draws it up and then you get the wonderful light flavor in there of the smoke. It's, I don't know if you tried the stuff yet, but it's not like really, really strong. It just gives a nice touch to it. Yeah, that's how we do it. That's our old smokehouse.
Thing about this guy right here, it's 120 years old. So that's what I got.
But that's a cool thing as well.
Yeah, it is. It puts me in a very unique situation. And thereby, I have a truly unique product. You just can't duplicate it that easily. What I'm after is that uniqueness. I didn't strive for it in the beginning, but I understand the value of it now because most everything that I have, from the sausage to the hams, the bacons, the steaks, you're not going to find them. They're so different. So I'm after that experience of, wow, that is amazing, to make my product stand out and to give people an experience that they just never really have had before unless they've been here before.
Back inside, Henry's son Josh is literally spraying the meat.
You're literally spraying it with water, with a hose. That's all you're doing, right?
Yeah, that's it, just spraying with a hose. I'm trying to get it down to 80 degrees because that kind of gets it out of the danger zone right there. So just cold running water, you know, that's all you need.
How long do you have to do it for?
Probably about 15 minutes. Just trying to go back and forth over it, because otherwise the temperature will keep rising and then it gets a little bit overdone. So this is a really critical step. So when I started spraying these down, they were at 145. So right now I'm trying to get them down to 80 degrees. So yeah, it takes a little bit of time.
He's literally spraying.
Yeah.
Spraying the meat.
That's what he's got to do.
After you cool them down and you put them in the cooler, what's the next step?
After it cools down, then it's going to need to be, depending upon what it's going. So like those hams are for Easter, right? So people will ask me certain sizes. And I'll be able to cut them or sell them a whole one. And then the bacons, we just sell them here at the shop. So what we'll do is slice some of them up, and then the rest of them we'll package them and hold them and then slice them as we needed so that I have a source for it. So I'm not continually making them. I have backup. So most of that is backup. You know, so I might use like a half of one to put in the case there. And then the rest, I'm going to hold it. I'm gonna go ahead and freeze it whole and package it, and then I'll pull it out as I need it.
It was a beautiful product. I took home some ham, bacon, and collar bacon. I made a BLT with avocado, a ham and Swiss on marble rye, and eggs and collar bacon. There was no question that it was going to be delicious. What I learned, though, is that even though ham and bacon are processed, and we tend to criticize processed meats, it's still a craft. The craft is producing a cured meat that marries new flavors, like the cure and the smoke, which bring alive the natural flavors of the quality animal it came from. That's what you get from your local butcher that you don't get from the national brands. And that's why we are so lucky here on the Central Coast. And Henry agrees.
The coast is such an incredibly unique, diverse place. These things take a great deal of skill. And that cannot be taught. You can't write that down in a book. It has to be caught. And that comes with repetition and practice and over and over and over and over again. Never getting tired of it, but being interested in perfecting it. In order to master anything, you literally have to dedicate your life to it. You can't spend like, say, oh, I'm going to be an expert at this and in a week's time be an expert at it. Because that guy, whatever his craft is, has probably spent years and years doing it. So you're just kind of seeing the fruits of all of his labor and hard work. Whatever it is that you're getting into, you have to be dedicated to it.
Not much more to say after that. This is KCBX Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Father Ian, and I'm playing with food.